All right. Hello, everyone. Brian here with Happy Hour with Brian. How's everyone doing today? Over here, if you write me and I can answer you, I like comments. I like questions. I like all of that. So please do that. So what do we got? We got March 19th, 2024. It's Tuesday. I've been going live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. So please tune in. Let me know what you think. Let me know your thoughts on it. What else big news I got? I'm a podcast. Yes, I know it's exciting. So I signed up with Podbean. I got two podcasts up on there now. They're taken from my episodes, previous episodes. But I'm also on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio. Might be another one in there, and I'm trying to get signed up with some more, but I'm technically challenged on this stuff, so getting it everywhere it should be. But right now, you can go to Podbean and find me real easy. I found me easy on Spotify. So just go to Happy Hour with Brian when you're looking for a podcast. And you can listen to me at your leisure, driving down the road, whatever you want to do. So that's fun. What else we got? I am eligible for stars. You guys know what stars are? It's a little thank you to me. So you can hit your little star button on there. I can't see one from here, but supposedly you'll be able to see a star button and you can give me stars. It's a little thank you, it's a tip, basically, is what it is. For my time, for my effort, for putting out the program. So I'm eligible. We've gotten big enough. We're able to do that now. So thank you for that. So if you want to give me a star, let me know you're here. I'd appreciate it. Thanks a lot. So today's episode is basically, we're going to call it Positive Mental Health Decisions. But we're not going to talk about a whole bunch of decisions because that's a huge subject, correct? Mental health decisions, we could talk days on that. So here's my mental health positive decision we're going to talk about today. And that's get a dog. I'm sorry if you're a cat person, a frog person, a hamster, gerbil, turtle, snake, whatever it is you have. I'm sure you love them, and that's fantastic. However, I don't think any of them can do what a dog can do, okay? My personal opinion, but it's pretty widely known, and it's my podcast, so we're going to stick with that, all right? So if you look on Happy Hour with Brian page or my Facebook page, building up to today's episode, I was asking for some pictures of your dog, or your pet, and I had a picture of mine on there. My dog's name is Riker, R-Y-K-E-R, Riker the dog. Riker is so special to me, it'll be hard for me to explain. Unless you're in love with your dog, you know where I'm coming from, okay? Here's my dog world story to you. I grew up on a farm. We had dogs. They weren't inside. They weren't house dogs. They were outside farm dogs. I liked them. I loved them. I played with them some. They were always around. I don't remember thinking a whole lot about it. We had a dog. We liked dogs. Sometimes we had puppies. You know, all good. Fun memories. I could name many dogs over my 18 years on that farm. I remember them. They got stories and laughs. So I got brought up around dogs. I liked dogs. All good, right? Then I went in the service. So I didn't have no dogs, all right? Then I got out of the service. And well, I didn't have a dog for quite a while either because when I first got out, I was single. I living in an apartment and blah, blah, blah. So no dog. And then I got married and then we got some dogs. We had a great dog, Bob. I paid decent money for Bob, the dog. The dog, Bob, was going to be my hunting dog. Well, Bob would fetch, and Bob did this, and Bob did that, and Bob always wanted to go, and Bob listened pretty good. And so Bob and me were going to be hunting buddies. I used to like waterfowl hunting. I took Bob hunting, and Bob disappeared and hid under the Suburban. We couldn't find him back. He wanted nothing to do with this. I refused to come out of the pickup one day. So then I'd get up to go hunting and he'd hide in the house. If I was going down in the morning, he didn't want nothing to do with it. Like he understood the gun and that. Bob, he didn't like guns. He didn't like fireworks. Bob liked the couch. Bob liked us. Bob loved my kids. Bob was in my family a long time. 13 years, 14 years, somewhere in there. When Bob the dog passed away, my daughter Madison had known that dog her entire life. She had known that dog her entire life. She did not know life without that dog. It was a sad day. Sad day. When I got divorced, Bob the dog went with the kids. That's just how it went. There was no argument about it. It's just how it was. I had another hunting dog then, Trigger. Trigger was a great dog. I had to give Trigger away to a good home because my life was a mess. I was an alcoholic. I'm now moving back to an apartment and just, I wasn't taking care of myself, much less the dog. I bring this up to set the stage that I had dogs and I love animals of all kinds and pets and I love my dogs. But it wasn't until the last 2 years that I was this close to a dog. And I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, but this dog, Riker, lives right in the house with us. He's an indoor dog. He doesn't even like being cold. He can't be cold. He's a Labradoodle. He's a mini Labradoodle. So he's a short little shit, pretty stocky, curly hair, cute little guy. And he's a great dog. He just really is. He's just a great dog. I love him to death. But before Riker, my dog Bob went with the family when I got divorced. And I had to give away another dog. And now I have no dogs. There's no dogs in my world for a long time. So I've been with my honey now 18 years, thank you, this spring. She's a little allergic to it. Well, I've known this. She's always said this. Careful around animals. She's just a little allergic. We've had a great life, but we never had a pet in it. We never had a dog. I wasn't fussy. I mean, I was okay with that. Which just was our life. We just didn't have a dog. All this time with PTSD and dealing with the VA and knowing about service dogs and all this, I didn't pay a lot of attention to it because I knew I wasn't going to have a dog because I wouldn't want her messed up being allergic. So I didn't pay a lot of attention, and I really didn't get the whole service dog thing. I mean, I think I got it, but I didn't get it. That makes sense? So I didn't look into it real deep, okay? I just assumed I was never going to get one, so I never put in to get one. I just didn't worry about it much because it didn't seem to fit into our life at the time. Anyway, fast forward to present day. We've had Riker for over 2 years now. So we decided together to get a Labradoodle, a mini Labradoodle. Rhonda got some allergy help, and we got this Labradoodle, and he's right in the house with us. Folks, I don't know what to tell you. I should have owned one from the day I got out of the service and held it tight to present day. My Labradoodle is not a trained service dog at all. He is just a great dog, and he loves me unconditionally. We can be better people by owning a dog. They're that amazing, all right? They're that amazing. I love my dog. So I don't know, we'll probably dive in and out of that as the episode goes on. But I know I really missed out not having that. So I had a dog before, but I was an alcoholic and life was busy. I was going to work all day long. I think Sean sent me a photo on here, but I don't know where it went. One of our viewers, thank you. I have Riker, and it was just, I just didn't realize how big a deal that was going to be. I just didn't know. I didn't know I needed that in my life. There's a better way to word it. I didn't know I needed that in my life. I really missed out. I really needed him. That's what I wanted to say. I needed Riker, and Riker needed me and my honey. Riker loves us to death. Riker is a sit in the chair everywhere we are. He goes with us everywhere. He is very much a member of our family big time. He behaves in a way that he can be. That's what's great. Okay. Hi, Don. Thanks for watching. I think we got Darlene. Thank you. Anyone got any questions or anything? Let me know. All right. So what do I really want to say here? I think pets are important. I think they make us. Well, I have a couple lists here. I have my notes. I have some printed off notes from the know-it-alls. Remember, I'm not a know-it-all. I've just been there, done that type guy. And I tell you stories about it. So I'm sorry I'm talking about dogs if you're a cat person. Okay? I like cats too. I'm not an anti-catter. I don't know why some people are anti-cats. All right? I think a dog suits my needs better. But I grew up on a farm. There's always a lot of cats. Cats are cool. Cats are cool. They are cats. Cats will crack you up. In my mental health condition, I think a dog is more suited. That's how I feel. All right. My dear mother, who I love very much, my mother loves pets. And one sad thing we talk about almost Sunday, every Sunday, is she's in assisted living. So, but when she still was at the farm, she'd feed these two, three cats every morning. She'd give them some milk and leftovers. She got a kick out of it. They weren't in the house, but they came to her big sliding door and she fed them. They were friends and she talked to them and mom really liked them. And now I talk to mom and she wonders if anyone's taking care of the cats. Well, they are taking care of the cats, but they're not spoiled anymore like they were when mom was taking care of them. My mom misses her cats, which leads me to a thought I just had. I have a cat story, whether you guys like it or not. So in November of 1990, I got deployed. We were some of the first ones there over to a possible war in Kuwait. Well, we know the possible didn't happen. It turned out to be a war. We start to advance into Kuwait. There's an actual war going on now. And they had these Scud missiles blowing up all the damn time and trying to shoot us with. And he was supposed to have all these chemical weapons. So every time a missile blew up or anything blew up, basically, well, we had to go. We call it Mop 4 when you're in the army. And you had to put down all this shit and your gas. You have a big gas mask. Remember, it's a desert. It's like 120 degrees. And you put on all this stupid stuff and it's just no fun. All clear, every time after you wait, I don't know how long, we had 2 hours or some shit. I don't even think people start listening, you know. People like look around for a while and take off their mask. You just stare at them. Anyway, there's always someone in the army that knows something. At least, and I guess we just got nothing better to do but to believe them sometimes. So anyway, this guy says, you know, a cat, the respiratory system is way different than ours. And if there was a chemical in the agent in the air, a cat would react way before it would get us. Really? Yeah. I don't know if you should tell a bunch of infantrymen marching across a foreign country this when you're getting bombed at with shit that might have chemical agents in it. Because we promptly went into a community and stole a cat. Yeah. We now have a cat. 1st Infantry Division, 4th of the 16th has a cat. All right? It's a stolen cat, but it's a cat. We like our cat. We named them Sniff. Get it? Looking for chemical agent? So Sniff. We named them Sniff. We took great care of Sniff. He got great MRI food. He had water, food, shelter, care. If he was too tired, we carried him. He had great care. He might have where he came from too, I don't know. But now he does have good care and he's marching across the desert with us. So sure as heck, here a boom, right? What do? Where's Sniff? You throw Sniff out there and like 25 guys stare at this cat. And the cat's looking back at it like, Wow, the cat's all right. We must be all right. So we ended up, this isn't military procedure, but we ended up not really going by that anymore. So when something blew up, we just looked at Sniff the cat. Sniff the cat seemed all right. We kept going. It turned out we were always okay. There never was any chemical agents deployed, and we were all fine. And we contributed our safety and our well-being to Sniff the cat. When we got into Iraq, I don't know how far we had to go in, 100 to 200 miles, we pushed them back at the time. There were no more Scud missiles going off. So I think the whole chemical thing had kind of died down. When it was time for us to go, we finally got to leave to go back to Germany. We gave Sniff to a new incoming place because we didn't know where we got Sniff anymore. And Sniff liked being in the army. Sniff was now an E5. And we let Sniff stay on duty on tour in Iraq. So that's what happened to Sniff the cat. I never saw him again. All right? That's my cat story on Sniff the cat. What do you guys think? All right. Remember, I can get stars now. I'm so happy about stars. I don't know how you give me stars yet, but hopefully you guys figure it out. I had a pet rabbit once. It was right when I got out of the service. I don't even know why I got it. I don't even know how I got it. But I was pretty little when I got it, and I litter box trained it. I don't recall it being hard. I named the rabbit Grimby. Grimby is a Jamaican cigarette, not a funky cigarette, a regular cigarette. Grimby, Grimby. So I named it Grimby because it had that tobacco color, kind of, right? Like brown, speckled, darker spots, tobacco color. Grimby. Grimby the rabbit. He was a good pet, bit me once. I ended up giving Grimby to a different place once too. But Grimby was spoiled. Grimby just lived in my apartment. He's a litter box trained. He just ran around. He'd hop up on the couch sometimes, lay on the floor, run around sometimes. I don't know, he seemed happy. He got big. I may be overfed him, I don't know. Grimby the rabbit. Now I'm down to Riker the dog. Sir Riker, I like to call him. All right? So let's get into some of this owning a dog. First thing you should know is that dog owners live longer. It's proven. Cat people, it's proven. Okay? Dog owners live longer. All right? And they recover faster from a serious health issue, like heart attack or a stroke or something bad like that. You get better faster if you have a dog. You know why? Because you want to take care of your dog. And your dog wants you to be better. Your dog senses that you're not right. And you want to show him you're all right. You're still there. You're still there for him. You get better faster, you live longer. So for no other reason, get a dog for that. We all want to live longer, right? All right. Keith, how are you? It's almost that time of year again where I get to see too much of you, Keith. Good to see you on here. I just made a list of 10, 11 things of why I think you guys should get a dog, okay? We'll try and tie this all together at the end if I can. One thing I have on my list is to give us a sense of purpose. All right, if you have a major life change, like quitting drinking, quitting heroin, retirement, divorce, whatever, a major life change, a dog can really help fill this empty space in your life, in your mind, in your heart, your body, your soul, whatever. The dog can help fill that space. They need attention. They need loving. They need a walk. They need to go to the bathroom, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on and on. These are all great things. So they give you a sense of purpose. We need a sense of purpose, especially if you are changing, a major life change. So I'll use me, for example. When I quit drinking, that's a major life change, okay? I didn't get a dog right when I quit drinking, but I could see where I've been very beneficial because I struggled with my time. I struggled with my mind. I didn't know what to do. I thought I should be at the bar with people. That's where I thought I should be, okay? If I'd had a dog back then, I'd have taken the dog somewhere, right? I'd have walked the dog. First thing I kind of put on there was sense of purpose. All right. Kind of leads right into the same thing here, companionship. A dog can provide constant companionship or can be a great comfort for those dealing with loneliness and isolation. Okay? Now, when I quit drinking, I felt lonely and isolated, even though I was fortunate enough to have a loved one right there with me through it all. But I was missing that. Remember, I was a drunk for a long time. And I was used to the bar scene. I was used to all these drinking things. I'd made everything a drinking thing, you know. And I wasn't doing that no more because I did not want to drink when I got out of treatment. I didn't want to, all right? So a dog would have helped fill some of that gap. A companion. All right? Check that out. Anyone got anything to add to this or do anything? Please chime in. Chirp in. Give me a thumbs up, a like, a share, whatever you got to do. Let's see some love on here, folks. Remember, I get stars. All right. A dog will give you a routine. That ties in more than where I was lost. So when I quit drinking, I lost my routine. We all get in a routine in life. We do. Think about your life. It's very much a routine. Sure, we change it up every now and then, or this happens to change it up. But as a rule, our life is a routine, all right? I quit drinking. That messed up my routine. My routine was out of whack. I felt lost. I didn't know what to do with my time. I've talked in other live streams, all the crazy shit I came up with. I started bird watching, for God's sake. Can you believe that? I started bird watching. Oh, yeah, identifying a little bird. Tell them my honey when I got home, I saw a yellow one, honey circle today. Yeah, and happy about it, too. Well, that was short-lived. I planted flowers everywhere for a while. I mean, when I say I planted flowers everywhere. And then I discovered treasures. And I soared to greatness. I love my treasures. So I found a hobby, and that is key to recovery. Find your passion, find your people. You will say it, all right? Okay, that's enough about routine. Routine can be beneficial for the individual struggling with PTSD also. A lot of this ties in with PTSD. I'm just not going to say both every time. A lot of this, there's a reason there's service dogs. There is a reason. You don't need to be a combat vet to get a service dog. You can be depressed, suicidal, been in a bad. You can get PTSD for a lot of reasons. You can get a service dog for a lot of reasons. Okay? So there's that. So what are we talking about? Physical activity. Dogs require regular exercise, which can help us with our physical health issues associated with alcoholism and depression and obesity and heart disease. Yes. I've been kind of bad this winter. I live in northern North Dakota, but I don't walk regularly like we used to. When it's nicer out, we go for a walk every morning. We go for a walk. Sometimes twice a day we go for a walk. He loves it, and it's good for me too, and I like seeing him happy. I like seeing my little guy happy. Sean is a loyal listener, and he's got a doggies too. So the physical activity is important. It's important for me because it gives me a sense of gives me a routine, a purpose, a companion, and I get the warm fuzzies because I see my dog happy. That makes me feel good. When I can see a dog smile, and yes, I can see my dog smile. So we're going to go for a walk. We're going to go for the mail. Riker's like, I like to see that. He's got a little strut in his walk when we put on that. He's got a little body. Looks like a flight vest in the Army because I'm an Army guy. So my dog's got to have a flight vest. So I put on his flight vest and we go out for a walk. And he's like, dun, dun, dun. Dude, staying alive, staying alive. That's how he walks. You got a little strut in his step. Whew. Okay. So physical activity. It's good for the dog, good for me, good for my mind, good for my soul, good for everybody. Good time to think. Good time to... I used to go for a walk at 7 in the morning with him. No one bugged me out there. Wasn't there really any other dogs out right then early in my little community. Plan my day. Watch my dog be happy. Nice. Sometimes have a coffee with me on my walk. It's a nice start. Went for about a mile, a little over. Nothing crazy. He was happy as heck about it. I was feeling good about it because I need to walk. I don't get a lot of, by choice, I don't get a lot of, I'm poor at exercising, okay? So walking the dog was good for me too. All right, physical activity. Now we get into all this stuff combined, reduce stress. They very much reduce stress in so many ways. I don't know that I can teach you how many ways they reduce stress. Interacting with a dog can reduce stress levels. You feel better when you snuggle with your dog. When your dog's happy. And when they show that love with you. I come home, I open the door, I walk in. My dog is sitting. I walk in, look to the right, he's sitting right there. Not on the chair no more, not on the couch no more, not sleeping over here no more. He's sitting right there. Hi, Dad. Happy in hell to see me. If he could speak, he wants to know what'd you do, where'd you go, how'd it go? Did it go okay? He's literally right there. He's not jumping up and down, being crazy, unless I've been gone a long time. But he's sitting right there like, hi, Dad. It's a great feeling. Promotes feelings of people get bored. People need love. They give you all this. You're not going to be bored around them. Nothing can show you more love. It's so good for you. It's good for your insides. You just bubble up. A human can do that. The dog can. This Owning a dog will give you an improved mood. Dogs can provide a distraction from the negative thoughts and feelings, which can help improve our mood. I tend to forget about what's going on when it's back to regular time. So if I left for the day, or I did this today, and now I'm up in my shop doing this, when I go back, it'll be sitting right there, waiting for me to come. I'm like, hey, Ricky boy. And I kind of forget all about what I'm doing. Because right now I'm going to give X amount of time to Riker. And that gives me a warm feeling. It gives him a warm, fuzzy feeling. And we're all just happy about it. We're all just happier. And my mood is good. He's very much a stress reliever for me. I didn't know how bad I needed a dog. I did not know. He's good for my PTSD, and he's not even trained on it. He's not a service dog. He's just a dog. But he knows me. He knows how I feel. He loves me. And it shows. That is a great feeling. It's just a great feeling. Sense of responsibility. Not only is this good for you, if you have children, it's good for them. A sense of responsibility. Structurally, in our world, we need that. You need a sense of responsibility, okay? Taking care of a dog can give you a sense of purpose and responsibility, which can be therapeutic for individuals dealing with PTSD or anything. You don't have to even be dealing with anything. It's good for you to know you got to take care of the dog. Got to feed the dog, got to water the dog, got to walk the dog, got to pet the dog, got to clean up after the dog sometimes. You got to do whatever for the dog. It's on your mind. And guess what? It's not a chore. It's not a chore. None of it. I don't complain about any of it. None of it. It is a small price to pay for the benefits I get. And most of it, I shouldn't even talk like that. I mean, I enjoy time with him. I enjoy doing everything with him. He means that much to me. He's only two. And I fear a day, one day. I fear a day. So much I love this dog. I didn't know I needed a dog that bad. I didn't know. I just didn't know. He's been a godsend to me and my significant other. We just love this guy. I'm a busy guy. I'm gone doing this. I'm gone doing that. I'm in my septic truck. I'm doing whatever. So Rhonda has a companion. Has a companion there. Our loyal little buddy is right there waiting for dad with her. And they're together doing it. Sometimes they play, sometimes they nap. So a sense of responsibility. Dogs provide unconditional love and support without any judgment. They're non-judgmental. A human can't do that. We can't do that. We can try to do that. We can act like we do that, but we can't do that. You can mess up real bad, and your dog will love you. As long as you didn't do something real bad to your dog. But you know what I mean? Your dog is unconditional love. Every day, every hour of the day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Unconditional love. And heartfelt. I mean, so heartfelt from them. It's just it's very beneficial to individuals dealing with PTSD or depression. That's very true, but I think it's beneficial to anyone. I don't think you have to necessarily be suffering from anything to benefit from owning a dog. I don't. I think they make us all better people. Riker makes me a better person because he shows honesty, loyalty, compassion, happy. He's like, I was in a good mood, that little guy. He's like, woo! Improve sleep, improve mood. They do it all. Some studies suggest the dogs can help improve sleep quality, which can be beneficial for individuals struggling with insomnia, common symptom of PTSD and depression. So a service dog, if I had an actual service dog with my PTSD, be having a nightmare, he would alert me that this is going on in comfort. And all that is, people try and make this all scientific and how can a dog help you? You know all it did? All that dog did was avert your attention, distract you. And that's all it needs most of the time to get out of that PTSD flashback, that mood you're having, all right? Unconditional love and affection. They're always happy to see you, always. Every time, it's almost funny. You can go out for 5 minutes, come back in the door, he's happy to see you. Go back out for 5 minutes, pop in, he's happy to see you. Every time. And he ain't faking it. He means it. He means it. That's how much he loves you. Remember, you have family, you have friends, you have work. They only have you. And they devote their entire life to you and your family. They don't outthink nothing. They don't overthink nothing. Their concern in the world is you. And they want you happy, paying attention to them, loving them, caring for them, snuggling with them. Don't stay sour at them long because they don't know. They don't know. All they know is that you're their world. They don't know. They don't think like we think. All they know is you. And they need you and they love you and they want your attention. Okay? That's all they know. Yeah, they know to bark at the cat. They know to maybe chase the squirrel. You know, they lose it. So do you. Don't stay sour alarm. A dog can teach us to be better people. They just can. They're that sincere and loyal. They can teach us to be better people. You can look at your dog and see love. There's not a lot of things in this world we can do that with. You can literally grab your hound, take him right up close, and look at him, and see love. That's special. That gives you a special thing. Does anyone else just tell their dog, I'll be back soon. Don't worry, I'll be back soon. I think they understand it personally. I tell them. Although ours is super spoiled and usually comes with us. So we go to Grand Forks, and Riker comes with. We got around, Riker comes with. And he's able to come with because he's deserving too. There's no reason not to bring him. He's a good dog. He just is. So we can go into a store. We can go into a restaurant and eat. He either sits, watches people, or curls up in my seat and sleeps till we come back. And then he's happy to see us again. We start all over. He has a fit. If he sees us getting ready to go, he says panicking. And then he pounces on you. He starts having a little fit. And I don't know why, because he like almost always goes with. So then you open the door and let him come with. And he don't care where you go. Not a care in the world. Don't care if it's a 6 hour drive or 6 minutes. He doesn't care. You start heading down the road. It's like he understands, oh, we're leaving town. All right, I'm going to hop back and take a nap. So he goes in the back seat, takes a nap, starts slowing down or get to a town, boop, right up, looking around. What's going on, Dad? Everything okay? And he likes watching. He's like a helper. He's a helper driver. A couple of facts I wrote down. Every 52 day in a dog's life is a year. So take long walks, give big hugs, and give lots of snacks. All right? Every 52 days in your dog's life is a year. So they click away rather quickly. And I don't want to think about that day. I really don't. Think about having a dog, even though neither of you speak the same language, you develop a deep connection you won't get with any other human. There's a lot of truth in that. I'll read it again. Think about having a dog is even though neither of you speak the same language, you develop a deep connection that you won't get with another human. Understand each other beautifully. Your dog knows. He knows you're happy. He knows when you're sad. He knows when you're depressed. He knows when you're hurt. He senses it before you sense it sometimes. That's why service dogs are so important to so many people. They sense. Service dogs can help stop. They can help with insulin, diabetes in people. There's so many different things they can do. I don't know how they teach them to do all that stuff. Incredible. It's because of they're able to do this because they bond so deeply with you. And nothing else really does that. Cat people, I'm telling you, the cat don't show the love like a dog does. Cats can show love. I like cats. Don't get me wrong. I got no problem with cats. But they're not quite like a dog. If you're lucky, a dog will come into your life, steal your heart and change everything. That's what Riker did to me. Changed everything. Game changer. getting Riker was a game changer. I love having Riker. I didn't know I needed Riker. I didn't know. I have a good woman. I have a nice house. I have nice stuff. I didn't know I needed Riker. I did. I needed Riker. Riker made me better. Riker made me feel better. Riker made me happier. Riker made me calmer. Riker made me laugh. Yeah, it's made me mad a few times too, but not bad. Sometimes Riker likes to like push his limits away. Like, nah, I'm not ready to come in yet, Dad. Maybe a dog destroys your shoes because that's the last thing you put on before you leave. So maybe that's why they want to get rid of shoes, right? This is how you can tie all this together with PTSD, alcoholism, depression. You can tie that all together. Every scenario we just talked about the last half hour, a dog helps. In every scenario when you're recovering from alcohol, dealing with PTSD, or if you're struggling with depression, the dog will help you be in a better mood, be happier. I was talking about being happy, be happy. I know you can get a emotional support dog. I'm not quite sure what that entails, how they train them or nothing. I think they're all emotional support dogs. The dogs just do that. That's just what they do. They emotionally support you. They make you happier. They make you smile. They make you love. That's just what they do. They just make you happier. They're doing it. They're not even trying to do it. They just do it because they love you so much. Dogs are good for people recovering because they're increased social interaction. You got to walk the dog. You got to take the dog to here. Take the dog to the vet. It gets you. People with PTSD tend to stay away. We tend to push people away. I didn't really do that, but I know other PTSD guys that did that. I mean, I did that with loved ones in a way, but that was more my alcoholism than my PTSD. I didn't like big crowds instead of my PTSD. I didn't like stay away from people. Social interaction is good. A dog can give you social interaction. If you walk by multiple people with your dog, more than one of them are going to stop and want to pet your dog or ask you what your dog's name is, blah, blah, blah. It's social interaction. You can't help it. They just like your dog. I bring my dog to the bank. No one's happy to see Brian. They're happy to see my dog. What can I say? He steals the show. So on the PTSD side and alcoholism side, companionship is the big word. Companionship. When you're recovering from alcohol, you need companionship. A dog can help fill that gap. He really can. If you don't know, try it. A dog can fill that gap. If you got PTSD, you're pushing people away in your life because that's what that does. A dog can help fill that companionship. That dog can help give you confidence. That dog can cause a conversation to come up about the dog, not about you. That's important in PTSD. I've told this many times. A lot of people, when they first met me, didn't even know I was in the military. I didn't talk about it a lot. I didn't brag about it a lot. I had to know you a little better before I dove into some of that. You know what I mean? It's not something I advertised. I didn't wear Army stuff back then. I just didn't. I kept that down. Because I didn't want the question. I didn't want the questions. I don't want you to ask me if I was in war. All right? I didn't want to talk to you about it. A dog, we talked about this. The dog will give you routine and structure. You need a routine. You need structure. Especially if you're suffering from PTSD or recovering from an addiction. You need routine. You need structure. I've always needed some structure in my life. I'm just that type of person. Look what happened to me when I didn't have a lot of structure. I went crazy for a lot of different reasons. We talk about it in some live streams, you know, the PTSD, that I like being social, whatever. Structure is good for me. Like now I own my own business, kind of do my own thing. I couldn't have done this years ago because I wasn't disciplined enough to do it. You need to be disciplined to be on your own because there's things you have to do and there's things you have to, it's just things you have to do. It's not for everyone. It's not. And it wasn't for me years ago, I don't believe. don't know that I really tried it. It takes discipline. You know, I need discipline and I needed structure. Now I've built structure into my life. Riker helps me with that. There's responsibility with Riker. I like that Riker needs me because I need him. Back and forth for us. We're pals. Two pals. All right? Dogs are non-judgmental. They don't care you're an ass. As long as you're not an ass to them, they don't care. I'm not telling you to be an ass. I'm just saying your dog doesn't care. All right? Your dog loves you. So if you go to work and you're an ass, and then people might not like you, but you come home, your dog will like you. Because that's just what they do. They love you. They can't help it. As long as you're a nice human and treat them with love and respect, they love you. All right? Unfortunately, I see dogs, they love their owners who spend very little time with them. Give your dog time of day, man. It's so worth it. It's so worth it. They're precious. Physical interaction, the act of caring for a dog, such as feeding, walking, grooming, can provide therapeutic physical interaction that can help reduce stress, anxiety, and all that. And it can. It can. I get up in the morning. I'm up first. I brush my dog. It's his morning routine. He waits for it. It's kind of mine. I don't know. It's just a thing. But anything I was dreaming about that night or whatever, I brush my dog. My dog loves it. Take care of my dog. He wants to go out. It's a routine. Every morning. He gets done with his little routine. I got my coffee. He comes in, hops up, go back to sleep with one of us. Right? We're having coffee, watching the news or whatever. And he just curls up. He's like, okay, I got all that done. I'm going to go back to bed. Life of a dog. We talk about the emotional support they get. Very much. I mean what I said. I don't know what emotional support. I don't know what more they do. They just naturally do that. They're just good at that. That's what they do. They can sense when their owners are upset or often respond by offering comfort. They can be particularly beneficial during a PTS flashback attack. Very true. All right, improved mood. Your dog will give you an improved mood. Spending time with your dog can improve mood, provide distraction from PTSD and alcohol withdrawal, everything. Your dog can just improve your mood. You can kind of have, it's just happened to me recently, been some shit in life, I just don't got some good vibes going on right now. And I can walk into the house and Riker makes it go away for a little bit. He just does. Because none of that affects him, and it's not bad enough, right? He just cheers you up. You just see Riker, like, hey, Riker boy. And you just gotta hug him and play with him and give him a belly rub. And I just always gotta spend a few moments right when I walk in the house with Riker. He's right there waiting for me. Increased social interaction. Dogs encourage their owners to go out and socialize, which can help reduce social isolation. This happens. Social isolation is a serious, serious thing. This is on different levels with me. PTSD causes social isolation. I don't want you to know what's wrong with me. So therefore, I'm just not going to let you get that close to me so I don't have to talk about it. Due to my social isolation, I started drinking heavy, okay? I did do that in a bar, but not big pack crowded bars necessarily, you know? More of a private, same people generally. I wasn't doing a lot of other stuff. If I had to work, and I go hang out here at the bar. It's a type of social isolation. At the time, I would have argued with you. I went, I'm not socially isolated. I was down at Pop's last night again. You know, it's the same people. It's your controlled environment. I was living in a controlled environment. I was out of control, but I was in a controlled environment. Where then people knew me, they weren't going to ask me the stupid questions. They didn't care that I was drinking. They were drinking with me. And nothing weird would really happen there. I was in a controlled environment. Where the rest of my life was going to hell, my PTSD was bad. And I've been having nightmares at night and flashbacks at times. All kinds of shit going on. I went to my controlled environment. It was my safety zone. Even though it was killing me, I didn't know that at the time. All right? A dog will help with all that. U.S. service animals. I'd link you to them. But U.S. service animals. So if you think a service dog would benefit you or a loved one, They got a great website. Go on there. It's easy to navigate. Start asking questions. Yeah, they got built-in questionnaires for you, for friend, for family member, blah, 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 blah. All kinds of ways to help you on there. U.S. service dogs. They can help you out with a service animal, all right? A lot of times they're free. They're covered by insurances. The VA provides them for vets. Like I said, Riker's not a service dog. We bought Riker, but he is. He just don't know it. He's a service dog. He's an underpaid service dog. No, he's overpaid. He gets a lot of snacks. Post-traumatic stress disorder manifests itself in many ways. A person with this condition may experience severe anxiety, terrifying panic attacks triggered by reminders of the trauma, insomnia, fear of crowds, flashbacks, mood swings, and depression. Service dogs are becoming more and more common treatment for PTSD, and they're not drugs. The VA loves to push drugs. Drugs did not help my PTSD. They might have temporarily helped some stuff, but they didn't help it. It took therapy. I had to learn the I's. I talk about that. I did this. I did that. I can do that. Whatever. I had to learn to use the word I. And when I started talking about it, when I started listening to a few people, I got better. You got to learn to use the I's. I think that's very important. Service dogs are really helping PTSD. They'll give you a sense of safety and security, physical experience and other tasks that lessen the disability. They reduce anxiety and depression, increase and lower your blood pressure, and many other things while providing great companionship. Alert tasks. I think that's the main job of a service dog for PTSD. They alert you when you're having we can have attacks. Me, I would have a panic attack. Okay. I've told in other live streams, I lost my gun. I thought a roadside bomb went off. I did this. I did that. They know that and they nudge you. They distract you. They might bark at you. They might really distract you. That breaks out what you're having. That gets you out of that moment. If you're going to have that flashback, have that thing, they disrupt that. And it ends faster and better and safer for everybody, okay? They're great. I've never had one, but I mean, it just makes sense. That's what they do. Riker wouldn't know to do that, I don't think. But Riker's there for me 24/7. Yeah, they take the place of a lot of medication. They really do. People can have a better feeling of safety by owning a dog, or learning them an intruder or someone they dislike at their home. This has been used in domestic violence situations where the dog's alerting you that someone walking around the house. You call, I guess I didn't know dogs can call 911. Look it up. Where's it at? Oh, I'll read you. This is out of U.S. service dogs. I didn't have time to research this. Whew, this is great. I didn't know. This has got Snoopy beat, man. Service dogs are trained to make necessary calls in the event of an emergency. They may call 911, a suicide hotline, a therapist, and the other support person. So the first time I read this, I thought, well, that's interesting. So I'm sitting over there having a panic attack and flashing back, and my dog's looking at me going, he's dead. What's wrong with you this time? Who do I got to call? 911, the therapist, the bomb squad? Which is it? I'm trying to figure it out, Dad. That's the thought that ran through my head. Usually these numbers are pre-programmed on the dog's friendly phone, okay? I'm assuming this is a pad that they can hit or do whatever. They watch their friendly phone. All right, I'm not sure. I've never had a service dog. But this is the part I love. But most PTSD service dogs will know how to dial 911 or a suicide hotline from their dog-friendly phone. I just think that's great. Can you not picture your dog checking you out? Going, I don't know what you need, Dad. You might need this. You might need that. I don't know how I can help you. I think that's amazing. I mean, who would Riker call? What's the bomb squad doing here? Riker sitting over there. Oops. That's too good. I love it. Cops come blaring up to your house. Fire truck pulls up. Brian, Brian, you all right? What? And the dog's over there. Yeah, boy. I had to read that like 3 times. That's how good a shit that is. Brian, what do you mean? I don't know, my dog called you. And they said that was a joke when I was a kid that the dog ate your homework. Ah, now they can call 911 on you. Your therapist on you. Okay, I don't mean to make fun of them. I'm glad they can do that. I don't understand how they do it. They can also smell your breath to check if my blood sugar is. Yes, they can. I have read about that, Mike. Yes, they're very good for diabetic people. Matter of fact, I have a friend who's no longer with us. I wish he would have had that. I believe they can sense a stroke. Or no, not a stroke. Seizure. For seizures, they can help you from getting a seizure, I guess. Amazing. I mean, go into U.S. service dogs and start, just for an interesting read one evening, go in there and learn what, and watch some videos what some of them dogs can do. It's incredible. So I got no contribute to how great a service dog is. I've personally never had a service dog. I told you why earlier in the episode. But now that I have Riker, who is not an official service dog, he is. He's been a miracle for me. Riker is amazing. Riker is just a fun, loving, happy breath of fresh air that gives me stability, gives me exercise, everything we talked about, he does that for me, okay? On a regular basis, every day. Every day, Riker shows me how much he needs me and how much he loves me. And that makes me feel good, all right? Thanks for that comment, Mike. I appreciate that. I think them service dogs do a lot of great things that I don't even know about. I've never studied it enough. I mean, I think dogs are, their sense of you is amazing. Show us your hat. 1st Infantry Division. I don't know what it says there. The big red one, yeah. 1st Infantry Division. I was in the 1st Infantry Division my whole time. It was a Brian thing. I had to be in the 1st Infantry. I didn't want to be anywhere else, all right? That's just where I was. Big red one, baby. Never saw John Wayne, though. But that's what, in the movie, that's what he was in, the big red one building. Don't give me no stars my first episode, but I'll forgive you. Remember, I'm eligible for stars now. And I'm going to end with this. I'll show you a picture, then I'll read it. The finger coming from above down to the dogs. Kindly, the father said to him, I've left you to the end. I've turned my own name around and have called you dog, my friend. That is how special they are, my friends. That is how special they are. So I don't know what you learned this episode, except get a dog. Hey, you're back. I lost you. I quit touching buttons. Bad when I touch buttons on here. So we'll leave it at that. I like any comments, questions you have, anything you want to do. Follow me, share me, like it. Comments if you watch this later, even little thumbs up and hearts, whatever you want to do, helps keep it flowing in the system. Remember, we're trying to build a community here. I'm a podcast. You can find me on podcast now. I'm on Podbeam. That's where I'm streaming them all from. So we go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio. I think there's something else to do on there, but I can't remember the name. But so you can listen to me while you're driving down the road or whatever. I'm a podcast. I'm still going live every Tuesday at 3 o'clock for now until we build it up more and we want to do it more often, wherever we got to do. Remember, we're building it, so we'll play it by ear. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Please share it. Till next time, take care.